Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I hope it is all a good morning for you. I think we're a little more settled than we were last Saturday morning after the quake. This is kind of a nondescript day so far, don't you think? Well, 20 ways people sabotage their healing. I have to do this show because you keep coming to me, and overwhelmingly, consistently, I'm posed with that issue. Always, it's a matter of how do I get you on track? You'll do what you need to do. You'll go through the actions. Your healing has been a matter of going through the motions, making the efforts. But really where you spend more time than you think you're going to spend is on getting the right perspective on what your actions mean, your interpretation of what you do day to day. In the name of your health is really in the end what makes the difference. And what you find more often than not, too often people are sabotaging themselves because their perception of the process isn't reality. The outside track, what the public understands in a healing, is generally not the way you heal. Part of that's human nature, to live in misdirection. And misdirection, I mean what? I mean you think the energy and direction you're investing your time, money, and energy are appropriate, and in reality, you're on a wild goose chase. You can apply that to lots of things in your life. Sort of what we hope we call wisdom over the decades is really doing less of that, investing with clear perception. And you look at youth sometimes, young people, as having great energy, enormous force, even enormous discipline, but it's all going in the wrong direction. The tendency to do that in a healing is phenomenal. The amount of misdirection that you suffer from is what the healing is. Now, this is a second base phenomenon. I call it second base because you don't really deal with this until you get going. Rather, that's where I want to put the focus of the show today. Yeah. Your friends don't want to participate in their healing because Kaiser's got it covered. Well, that's not what this show is today. This show is to talk to people who have already invested time and money and energy, and it's not news to them that cutting out organs isn't the best way to go. That's not really where this show is going today. This show is about people who already shop at Whole Foods, who've bought an herb or two in their life, who are looking for a non-pharmaceutical solution to their problems, who are kind of veterans, who've spent 2 to 5 to 10 years, who this isn't new to. That's who I want to talk to. Because you guys need the real upgrade. And what you do functionally is you sabotage yourself because you think you're understanding a process that is, it's a life's work to understand. A healing is a life's journey. You come here to heal. But we don't think of it that way. We should. We think of healing as what you do when you're sick, emotionally or physically, and then you're not anymore. You were, now you're not. You weren't, now you are. You want to not be. It's not reality. That's the whole misdirection in the first place. You can't even say healing because it implies that there's something wrong. I'm healing. Oh, where you been, Joe? Oh, I've been healing. I've been spiritually developing. We don't use this jargon. It doesn't make sense. not where it counts at the office, not socially. We don't think that way. Oh, you're healing. You must have been sick. No, I wasn't sick, but you see, life is healing. It doesn't work. You can't talk that way. But that's exactly the way you have to see life unfold from the success that you're about to have, off the investment you're about to profit from, all the way to the other extreme where you have a life-threatening disease. Now, outside of that perspective, you sabotage yourself. If I call this show today, which I am, the top 20 ways people sabotage their healing, and I give you 19 ways, it's going to bother some of you. In fact, if I don't even count the number of ways, but I call it the top 20 ways people sabotage their healing, no matter what I say, and I know this, no matter what I say in this show today, somebody's going to say, well, you didn't give us 20 ways. You only gave us 18. What are the other two? It's going to bother people that I put a number on the title of the show, and yet I didn't list those numbers on the show. You see this all the time. All the time. Amidst all the wisdom, all the insight, all the deep perception, all the experience transmitted in a medium, whether it be radio or literature, there's always what we call the bean counters. People who count beans. They're always behind a desk with a magnifying glass, making sure you cross your T's and dot your I's. They never make a lot of money. The society kind of hints at their bureaucratic tendencies is next to useless. But nonetheless, they dictate your day. And when you think like a bean counter, and we're all taught in school to be bean counters, there's always that teacher we don't like. That's a bean counter, meaning they overlook the essence of a work in the name of crossing your T's and dotting your I's. And then, of course, in that truly democratic fashion, we have to give them their merit and their place, too, in life. Because without the bean counters, well, then maniacs would run the world. And to make matters more complicated, to an extent, that's true. You need bean counters. You need bean counters in their place, in their right place. In a healing, it's okay to count beans. It's okay to be cerebral. It's okay to say, doctor, what is the cause of my problem, and expect a one-sentence answer. It's okay to say, doctor, why do I have that symptom today and I didn't have it yesterday? And I don't want it tomorrow, but I thought I wasn't going to get it tomorrow, but I got it tomorrow, and now I'm looking back at it. I never know when it's going to come back or go away. Why is that? It's okay to be cerebral. It's okay. But you see, the word bean counter, what bean counter means, bean counter is a word that derives out of corporate America years ago as corporate entrepreneurial thought emerged in the 20th century in the United States. And there was always somebody there counting beans, stopping the expression of creative growth. Bean counters do not heal. They don't. They get a first base healing. Bean counters apply an herb to a symptom, and they don't go any further. That's it. I would be counting beans gladly, gladly, if I could just make nutritional recommendations and watch people heal. I never saw it happen, and I never will. And I'm not knocking it to first base. But bean counters do not go beyond first base. Not in the corporation. You know what bean counters are? Overly cerebral people. People who employ objective logical thought, pure and nothing more, in the most unknown to them subjective way, but nonetheless, who apply what they call the rational mind to a healing, never heal. Nor do they ever succeed in the corporate world. The king of the bean counters always reaches his level of incompetence early on in his career. They're usually pawns of dark forces. I don't mean that. Well, I kind of do mean that. What I mean is, a bean counter a bureaucrat, a technocrat that has too much power will kill a creative expansion. And a creative expansion is what we're talking about when we say heal. Check my last show on the pineal gland. You what? You are not going to expand creatively to the point where you can start to move physical parts of your brain along with all the physiological manifestations. We just saw one here last week. Someone shifted the upper cervical spine to the point where the inside of the brain wobbled. What does that mean to a bean counter? Very little. But if you've got anything even approaching an inside track, you're going to understand that there are dimensions that move healings that Cialé and Reich and Paracos and many, many others tried to define, to describe, to bring to science. And sometimes they're not even measurable. They're to be experienced. They're experiential. And a bean counter is always looking for measurements. Precise delineations that you can measure every 2 minutes, like watching the stock market. Now, if you're that way, you are being overly analytical. It is the number one way you will sabotage your healing. You're being anal. You're being misdirected. You're using your education. Even if you are exquisitely credentialed, you're using your high education as nothing more than a bean counter. You see yourself as a rational man. You know, lots of people come to these things. There's enough pure bean counter material in the healing arts. There's enough hard literature, we'll call it. Idiot-proof literature. To suggest that something like turmeric, with the active component curcumin, functions as an anti-inflammatory. There's enough information, hard, double-blind placebo. No one can argue with it. Even a bean counter won't argue with the fact that different types of mushrooms stimulate the immune system. And lots of those people get involved in the healing arts. If you're one of them, open up your other eye. Or you're going to spin on second base. At least you're in the game. All the people in Whole Foods throughout the United States every single day are in the game. I will guarantee you that less than 10% of them have the perspective necessary to take themselves to a healing. That is a very consistent statement I'm making. A first base approach accommodates an overly analytic mind. If someone has enough honesty within themselves, they're going to see that an herb is worth an inquiry. They're going to consider, and they may get a first base response. But first base doesn't cut it. First base is not the home run. The size of your soul is asking for the home run. It's bases loaded, two outs, three balls, two strikes. There's one more pitch to determine whether or not in the last inning of the game you're going to hit it out of the park. That is what your soul is asking for. As always, get to the website. If you're new to the show, welcome. Dr. Vincent Medici, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Not .com.cc, two T's. Look at it. Oh, my lovely tech person. I don't think she numbered the pictures today. We have had a tech flaw. I hope she's been listening. Here, let's put a little spin on this. If your pictures are not numbered, I apologize. Ah, she did. My mistake. I made the tech flaw. Take it back. Your pictures are numbered. Get to picture number 11. Look at picture number 11. The pineal gland. Take a look at it. Take a look at that picture. The hypothalamus, where you see 45. Now just go left of that number, 45, straight backwards, and you're going to see that little thing that sticks out like the head of a pea. That's the pineal. You're not going to get there counting beans. So what is this about the analytic mind? The analytic mind...